This is Radio America right here.
It really makes for great drama.
There's love, there's romance, there's a little bit of intrigue.
We are in historic times.
You are the only repository of local news.
And by local, I mean really local.
It's time for This Morning with Aaron Keck. Now here's Aaron on 97.9 The Hill.
Rabbit, happy December and good morning. 6:07 your time, 43 degrees your temperature in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. We got partly cloudy skies today with highs in the mid-60s. Start of a warm-up will be up around 70 for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before we get into the weekend. Good to be with you this morning. No rain in the forecast anytime soon for the Triangle. That's not necessarily great news. North Carolina has imposed a statewide burn ban due to dry conditions all over the state. We've got a couple of wildfires out in the western part of the state, most notably one on Pilot Mountain that's burned several hundred acres already. No outdoor burning across the state until further notice. State officials say they'll lift that ban when we get some significant amount of rain. Catching you up on local news as we begin the hour, Chapel Hill Carrboro City school officials say there may be delays on three bus routes this morning due to staffing shortages. Route 12, Route 28, and Route 95. Those cover all three high schools, plus Culbreth Smith and McDougal Middle Schools, and Carrboro Scroggs and Northside Elementary. If you or your kids are affected, you should have gotten an email about that or some contact or notification from the district already. Now to Raleigh, where State Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen has been one of the most familiar faces of the COVID-19 pandemic, making regular public statements and guiding state policy for the last 2 years. But yesterday, Dr. Cohen announced she is stepping down at the end of the year. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras has more.
At his press conference on Tuesday, Governor Roy Cooper announced that NCDHHS Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen will be stepping down after 5 years of service.
North Carolina has benefited greatly from your leadership over the past 5 years. That's been especially true over the course of this pandemic, during which your work has saved countless lives. You and I, along with our remarkable team, have been in the trenches together, and we're going to miss you.
Cohen, an internal medicine physician, was appointed in January of 2017 and has since led the state's response to COVID-19 and served as Cooper's chief advisor and strategist on beating the pandemic. Under her leadership, North Carolina has been recognized as best in the nation for providing equitable access to both COVID-19 testing and vaccination. Cohen said it's been the honor of a lifetime to serve the state at such an important moment in history.
Well, it's been a wonderful 5 years. I am so honored that I had this opportunity to lead the state at this moment. I think we've accomplished so much beyond, I know folks see the COVID response, but I'm really proud of the work we did the 3 years, even leading up to COVID. I think it made a difference in how we were able to be successful in responding, whether it was transitioning our Medicaid program or investing in early childhood. All of that, I think, contributed to our success.
During her tenure, Cohen said she's built a remarkable team of talented people. This team includes Cody Kinsley, who will be filling Cohen's shoes effective January 1st.
While it's hard to step away, it's the right time for me personally and the right time for our team. The Department of Health and Human Services is in a strong position to continue to carry out its mission. And in choosing Chief Deputy Secretary Cody Kinsley as the department's next secretary, the governor has chosen an incredible leader to take the baton to run the next leg of this race.
Kinsley currently serves as the NCDHHS Chief Deputy Secretary for Health, as well as the operations lead for North Carolina's pandemic response. He has served the state agency for nearly 4 years. Prior to his work at the State Health Department, Kinsley has held roles at the White House and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under both the Obama and Trump administration. He will also soon make state history as the first openly gay cabinet secretary in North Carolina. Now, as she wraps up her final month on the job, Cohen said she looks forward to spending more time with her family while exploring new opportunities to improve the health and well-being of communities. But before she can do that, Cooper said her work is not yet finished.
Dr. Cohen, North Carolinians owe you a deep debt of gratitude. You have been such a blessing to our state. Thank you, my friend. But you have another month to go. And I know, as usual, you're going to be at it as determined as ever until the last day. So we're looking forward to the next month.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
COVID-19 numbers are sadly back on the rise in North Carolina. Hospitalizations were up over 1,100 again yesterday. Back in Orange County, a three-vehicle crash on I-85 yesterday morning left one person dead. This happened shortly before 9 a.m. on the northbound side near Buckhorn Road, not far from Mebane. Herald Sun reporting the person killed was an out-of-state resident, but other than that, they've not been publicly identified. In local government, the Chapel Hill Town Council is back in session tonight at 6:30 with an agenda that includes a discussion of the town's five-year budget strategy, a concept plan for housing on Trinity Court, and a zoning application for the redevelopment project on East Rosemary Street. Get the full agenda and the live stream link at townofchapelhill.org. On campus, big news for the UNC School of Law. The university announced this week a $2 million donation from UNC alums Jim and Francis Carr to establish the Carr Family Civil Rights Endowment Fund at the law school. That fund will support civil rights teaching and research with a focus on addressing pervasive discrimination, inequality, and marginalization, direct quote. In the courts, a big development yesterday in the ongoing Leandro case over North Carolina's constitutional obligation to provide students with access to a sound basic education. Earlier this month, Superior Court Judge David Lee ordered executive officials to begin implementing a $1.7 billion plan to meet that obligation, ruling that the General Assembly has failed to address it. But yesterday, a three-judge panel of the State Court of Appeals overruled that order, saying Lee overstepped his bounds. The legal fight is not over, though that ruling could be appealed. Also in the courts, a minor win for Republican lawmakers in one of the lawsuits challenging the state's new legislative district lines. Plaintiffs had asked a Wake County judge to push back the state's March 8th primary date on the assumption that lawmakers will have to redraw the district lines. But yesterday, the judge declined to do that because the current lines have not yet been struck down. With the primary in early March, the filing period begins on Monday for candidates who want to run for office next year. And we're hearing more from local leaders who are making their plans, including Jamesetta Bedford, who's currently on the Orange County Board of Commissioners and wants to stay there. Yesterday, Bedford confirmed she is planning to run for re-election to a second term. Now, finally, we turn to inflation, which recently hit a 30-year high, according to economists. What has been causing the spike, though? How will it affect our day-to-day lives, and what can be done about it? For that, 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach turned to a recent panel at Duke University and filed this report.
Inflation is typically driven on the demand side because of excessive monetary policy. Connell Fullenkamp, a professor and director of undergraduate studies in the Duke Economics Department, said monetary stimulus has been part of the financial landscape for more than a decade.
We had the massive fiscal stimulus that took place with the Biden administration's response to the pandemic, literally trillions of dollars being spent and put into the American economy, families getting checks, businesses getting support for their employees, and so on.
Fullenkamp said that this is leading to an outstanding amount of demand. But because of supply chain issues, goods are not able to get into consumers' hands. And he said despite recent wage increases, the purchasing power for many families is actually decreasing.
We have wage increases at a pace of 3.5%, which was really unusual for the past decade. And high inflation that's at 5% or 6% comes by and unravels that rather quickly. And moreover, it does the damage in exactly the places that low-income families are most vulnerable.
This is evident in the increased price of rent, energy, and even grocery store products. Fullenkamp called it a, quote, classic wage price spiral.
Over long periods of time, it's an unfortunate truth that wages really never quite catch up to inflation, at least not in the short term.
Emma Raziel is an associate chair and professor in the Duke Department of Economics. She said during the pandemic, there was a lot of uncertainty in how to plan for a crisis like COVID-19.
We saw a lot of hoarding and shortages last year when there were concerns about things like toilet paper and so on.
She said that was a pandemic-driven response, but a similar response could happen for day-to-day goods within a high inflation environment.
For non-perishables, if people are worried that the prices of those are going to go up a lot and they're essentials, people may stockpile them. And of course, that has the impact of creating a vicious cycle as it becomes harder and harder to buy them, and that can also drive prices of those up.
The Duke economist said the Omicron variant of the coronavirus could provide some short-term relief from inflation, but in the long term could postpone the recovery of the supply chain. Raziel said some solutions in the long term are to avoid panicking and avoid hoarding goods.
Inflation is self-fulfilling in many ways. If everybody believes there will be inflation, there will be.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Eva Pukech.
One other thing happening on campus today is LDOC, the last day of class for the semester before the exam period begins. And this lunch period, a UNC parents group and the Chapel Hill Carborough Mothers Club are coming together to hold another student support rally on campus. That'll start at 11 a.m. and run until 3 behind the old well on Cameron Avenue. Coming out for sports, brought to you this hour by Inside Carolina. It's ACC Big Ten Challenge night for Carolina basketball. The Tar Heel women are at Minnesota tonight at 9, looking to stay undefeated. And the Tar Heel men are at home, hosting number 24 Michigan tonight at 9:15. Both the men's basketball team and Michigan have fallen from their high preseason rankings after suffering two losses. But UNC head coach Hubert Davis says those lower rankings don't matter.
No, I don't look at that at all. You know, Michigan is an outstanding team. They're well coached. I have unbelievable respect for Juwan Howard and his coaching staff. And, you know, Michigan is a team that not only has team goals to be able to win the Big Ten and get to a Final Four and win a national championship, they have the coaching staff and the talent to be able to do that. We do as well. We have the same type of team goals as Michigan has, and the only difference would be is our goal is to win the ACC regular season and tournament title, but we also want to get to the Final Four and win a national championship as well. And with the talent that we have out there on the floor, both teams have an opportunity to do that. And so tomorrow night will be against a great opponent with an unbelievable coaching staff.
That's Hubert Davis there. Tonight's game tips off at 9:15. We'll have it all for you here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning with countdown to tip-off at 7:30. Elsewhere in Carolina sports, all ACC honors for 11 Tar Heel football players this week, led by wide receiver Josh Downs, who made the first team after setting new program records for receptions and receiving yards. Running back Ty Chandler and defensive lineman Miles Murphy made the second team. Fellow DL Tamon Fox made the third team, along with linebacker Jeremiah Gemmel and defensive back Cameron Kelly. An honorable mention went to Sam Howell, Joshua Izudu, Marcus McKeithen, Raymond Vohasek, and Tony Grimes. Jeremiah Gemmel also got one more honor. Inside Carolina reports he's been selected to play in this year's Senior Bowl on February 5th. Carolina wrapped up its regular season with a 6-6 record. Their bowl game is still yet to be determined. Three other Tar Heel athletes earned honors yesterday, too. Wrestler Clay Lout was named ACC Wrestler of the Week after knocking off a top 10 opponent over the weekend. And men's lacrosse stars Cole Herbert and Lance Tillman both got named to the roster for Team USA in the Under-21 World Championship. That'll be next August in Ireland. Carolina Hurricanes suffered a loss last night, 4-1 at Dallas. Canes are back home tomorrow night, hosting Ottawa at 7 p.m. And finally, good news if you're an Xfinity or Comcast subscriber. ESPN announced yesterday that Comcast and Xfinity customers will finally be able to access the ACC network starting within the next few weeks. They had been the last major TV carriers without that channel.